Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am Dave Johnson, joined by Mac McIntyre.
I could do.
Daryl Loomis.
Hey.
And we were just talking about the weather. So the Filibuster weather is brought to you by, I don't know. Mac, who's our sponsor this week?
Timo Sill.
Yes, Timo Sill.
This
weather, and it is muggy up in New England. I guess it's starting to get brutally hot down in Texas, and that is filibuster weather. So, Mac, let's move on to something even more brutal, and that is the filibuster exclusive review, well, exclusive to the filibuster, of Battleship.
Battleship.
One of our biannual or so sojourns that Mac and I take to grab a summer blockbuster and take a gander. So we both went there. We both, I guess we both enrolled for duty, I suppose, on Battleship. And Mac, what say you?
Isn't it enlisted in duty?
Yeah, I guess enlisted. Yeah, that's true. This would be spoilerific too, so just in case.
Oh no, I haven't seen it.
Oh, here's young one.
Battleship. It was pretty bad.
We kind of went before saying, okay, if it's like an entertaining B movie, then that's fine, you know. And this is coming from two guys who didn't loathe Battle Los Angeles.
Right.
So that's kind of the cheap dates we are as far as alien invasion movies. But yeah, I'm with Mac. It was rough.
It wasn't so bad it's good. It wasn't Michael Jackson's bad. It was just bad.
Yeah. It was rough. My favorite worst part was when our heroes, they find their destroyer gets walloped by the aliens, so they get the Missouri, the decommissioned Missouri. Get that bad boy seaworthy in like 9 minutes. all the live ordnance is all ready to roll. And then it's operated by these 80-year-old World War II vets. Now, I am all for honoring the greatest generation. I am all for it. But it's raw. It's tough to kind of buy that, suspend that disbelief. I mean, I would feel maybe half of those guys thought they were having flashbacks or hallucinating. Maybe half, the other half were on Timo Sill. But yeah, that was pretty. So watching the Missouri take down an alien starship, alien spaceship, while being piloted by some geriatric folks, it was a rough sight. Yeah. So
and it's like our heroes arrive at the Missouri and they say, okay, you know, we gotta, you know, get this ship out of mothballs. It's gonna be what saves the day. But who's going to be our crew?
Yeah.
And all the old guys just, like, show up.
That's right,
like,
yeah.
Like, that's they were just already there.
They pop up like those hallucinations and Lost. They just show up all of a sudden. And then they walk, and it's a slow-motion walk. And it is, I mean, you feel bad laughing at it because I bet those guys are real veterans. You know, that's my guess. But, oof, it was, Peter Berg was asking a lot of us that stretch. And like the alien designs were, how would you describe them, Mac? Like an old guy with a spiky beard? Like Dr. Stilborax, maybe? I don't know.
For the most part, though, they're just guys in big metal armor.
Yes.
Just ready for the video game. And the few glimpses we do get of them without the helmet. Yeah, they've got these little spiky beards. Kind of looks like Poop Deck Pappy from the old Popeye cartoons. That beard that he had.
Yes, very good. Very good. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to actually blame Peter Berg for putting some of these poor guys in situations where they have to act, and it's not fair to them. So whether it's World War II vets or the gentleman with the two prosthetic legs, Mac, who, again, I would hazard to say is an actual veteran, would you think?
I don't know.
He was bombing around.
He was just an actor who happens to, you know, use prosthetics.
That's possible. That's possible. My guess is actual veteran. We'll see. But he got a lot of screen time.
We could have looked this up before we did the show.
We probably could have. That tells you how much we really love Battleship. But regardless, these guys are kind of set up to fail, so I can't really harpoon them.
Liam Neeson in the movie for about, 5 minutes?
5 minutes, yeah. Right. And most of the movie, because the aliens land and they pop up this alien bubble shield around their location, so the fleet can't get in there. So apparently Liam Neeson is just idling for 2 days, right?
I guess.
Well, all hell breaks loose. Just like sitting, literally just sitting there. So, yeah. And then there's this terrible subplot of the hero. Again, this is Taylor Kitsch, who was in John Carter, right?
Right.
So, yikes. He's got two
big bombs right
there. Yes, two big bombs right underneath him. So,
At least John Carter's kind of already developing a cult following. I don't know if Battleship's
Yeah, I don't think it will. Yeah. So.
And the other thing is the call-outs to the board game. They really tried.
They worked hard.
To bring the board game to life.
Yeah. It was. They really
so
worked
absurd.
Hard. Yeah, they had sonar, and they actually had letters and numbers together, which.
Oh, my God.
And again, I'd like to reiterate, I am a cheap date when it comes to this stuff. You know, I'm a cheap date when it comes to the U.S. military in a good light wasting aliens, but this is not a recruiting tool for the Navy at all.
And surprisingly, it sounds like I'm still not going to see this movie.
Yeah, and back, it occurred to me like a day later, I forgot to look for our buddy Curtis Bush, the psycho kickboxer. who you know, when he was talking to Dan Mancini, I have an objection, was saying that he got a bit role in the Battleship, and wow. This is, and when he read for a speaking part, it was so bad that the director, the casting person, laughed, even though it was a serious moment. So that tells, like, so I guess that kind of tells you, unfortunately, about our buddy Curtis, his line reading.
I wonder who he was in the movie.
He's in, though. He is in the movie in a not-speaking role. So I can't believe I didn't even think to look. Because that could have salvaged, you know, so to speak, some of that. So rough. Sorry, Battleship. You open mind, but you took a piping hot deuce on our open minds. So, Mac, anything else going on? That's me. I'll go right away and say that. That's all I have to report this week.
That was pretty much it, yeah, Battleship.
Although there is big news, I'll toot our buddy Max Horn. He does have a book coming out this Friday, right?
That's right, yeah. I wasn't going to do the gross self-promotion thing, but...
Self-promote. Yes, what is the book, Max?
The book is Cine High, C-I-N-E High, and it comes out today for our listeners on May 25th on Amazon. Exclusively for the Kindle.
Excellent, yeah. And you can,
and the Kindle app.
Yeah. But yeah, if you don't have a Kindle, get the Kindle app for free. You can read it on an Android phone of your choice. I think the Kindle app is omnipresent. So whether it's a tablet or even a computer, get Mac's book and read it.
It's awesome.
So, all right, Daryl. So we've...
Not a lot. Happy about the way Community ended.
Yeah. What do you think about... Okay, two questions for you, Daryl.
Yes.
Community, the third season as a whole, your thoughts, and then all the craziness happening with Harmon getting the boot.
You know, well, that's a debacle, no matter how you cut that. The Dan Harmon business is ridiculous.
He was canned. He's not the showrunner anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's like canning Larry David and keeping Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, right.
It's just stupid. It just doesn't make any sense. But Community... Third season as a whole, I'm super positive about. Everything they did, starting with the Fistful of Bullets episode in season two, mostly all the way through to the end of season three, I was happy with.
Nice.
Once they pulled out in the Fistful of Bullets paintball episode, once they pulled out the spaghetti western action, I was hooked. I just sort of fell in love completely with it at that point. But I thought they got really creative, and there were some points when they first came back where I wasn't so sure that it was going to be as good as it was, but they ended on a real strong note, and I thought the video game episode was freaking hilarious.
Yeah, that was pretty clever. Yeah, for me, like, I think...
As a heavy player of those games.
Yes. I thought it was pretty great. I mean... I would probably say it was a little more hit and miss for me. I think it really the best way I could say it, sometimes it seemed like they forego kind of like genuine kind of make you laugh jokes type of thing for those real, like, we are not doing TV genre conventions.
Super high concept.
Yeah, absolutely. So I thought there was a trade-off. And even though I enjoyed that element, I just think that there's some brilliant comic talent there. And, you know, when they went for the comedy, it was always the funniest stuff on TV. So
yeah.
So sometimes I thought that they traded some of those to be that, just like you said, real high concept stuff. So,
yeah. Well, and because the cast is so strong, it leads me to believe that there's gonna, that there'll still be some life in it next year. But without Dan Harmon, you're not going to have those high concept things, and they're going to play out all the romances and do all of those things in tradition, in a more traditional television comedy fashion.
Yeah, which, if I recall, isn't that how Community originally started? More traditional.
Yeah. Yeah,
right. The first couple of episodes were all about Jeff and Britta and
romantic
tension.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
Britta wasn't kind of the. I mean, a lot is a lot is great compared to that. You know, so like, mm-hmm. Britta became this really fun caricature,
right?
Of this, this post-feminist, whatever she became. Well, I thought that was a lot more interesting than what she started with. And Abed and Troy certainly developed in a big way as well. I think.
Yeah.
Troy was like a jock, but kind of like a dumb jock.
A complete dumb jock.
Yeah, so.
Doing keg stands and things like that.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And then he turned into a super nerd.
So, but yeah, definitely a lot of good in 3, and I share your trepidation with, season 4, I think.
I'll watch, I'm right there.
On Fridays, right? Fridays after Whitney.
Fridays after Whitney, good God. yeah, if there's anything that's going to keep from getting anything beyond those 13 episodes, it's that. So, we'll see. We'll see. But I was happy with it.
Nice. All right. Oh, we will see indeed. All right. So, real quick, guys, lightning round, stuff you're working on for the site, Mac?
I'm working on season 2 of Decoded from the History Channel, show hosted by author Brad Metzger, however it's pronounced.
You see his name in the library occasionally, correct?
Yes, and... Yeah, it's an interesting show. It's kind of good and bad. It's essentially a reality show. Metzger has these three investigators who are traveling around the country, and they're trying to solve all these great unsolved mysteries throughout American history. And there's good and bad. It's like, for example, the first episode on the set is about Fort Knox, and all the conspiracy theorists say that Fort Knox is empty. All the gold has either been spent or taken. And, if this happens, then the economy is going to, collapse and et cetera. And while the conspiracy theory part of it was just kind of only so-so, a lot of the real facts about Fort Knox were really interesting. Like, only a handful of people, just the tiny amount of people throughout history have ever actually seen the inside of the vault.
An odd job is one of them, right?
An odd job, right. I kept waiting for the odd job reference. And like all the just insane security around Fort Knox and kind of the history of it and the how and why it was built. It's and also in the 50s, they kept vaccines inside the vault along with the gold, stuff like that. It's just so the actual history part was really fascinating. The conspiracy theory stuff, which is supposed to be the really exciting part of the show, wasn't that exciting.
Ah.
So it's a mixed bag, but I guess I'm enjoying it.
Nice. Daryl?
If you're a fan of stand-up comedy, and I am, but I don't watch that much of it, but I did get Bobcat Goldthwait's new stand-up special. And it is so much funnier than I ever could have imagined.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I love him. I love the movies he directs, Shakes the Clown and World's Greatest Dad, and he's got a new one coming out. I love his movies, but he hasn't done stand-up in years, and he doesn't do his old bit anymore. But there was 5 or 6 points. It's an hour long. There was 5 or 6 points that I was out and out crying.
Wow, really?
Yeah. It's one of the funniest stand-ups shows I've seen in years and years. So, yeah, it's called You Don't Look the Same Either. and there's a just real quick, there's a fantastic bit where somebody out in the audience at the very beginning screams Affleck sucks. And it's I don't know if it's staged or not, but he winds up going on this bit about being mistaken for Gilbert Gottfried, and he's just phenomenal. He's phenomenal up there. So, check it out if you're interested. If you're interested in stand up stuff, I would definitely check it out.
Nice. All right. Well, I've got this odd release. It was it's a prequel to this video game called Ghost Recon Future Soldier. It's an Ubisoft game, and you see a lot of these kind of films that. Like a couple animated films, for example, get released alongside these big releases like Dante's Inferno or Dead Space, So these, they're like legit feature length, you know, movies that kind of supplement the story of the game. So this shows up, and it's two odd things jump out immediately. One, it's live action, so it's a completely live action prequel. And two, it is 24 minutes long.
Nice.
And I just do not understand what they're doing. It's actually well done. I mean, there's a little budget attached to it. There's some CGI that's believable, and it's pretty much a lot of fighting. But as far as a release, like a release that you buy, it's just it's a hard sell. You look on the back of the case, it says running time 50 minutes. Well, that's not technically true. It's like 24 minutes for the feature, maybe at the count of the extra behind the making of is 28 minutes, so maybe that's what it is. So the making of is actually longer than the feature, or they combined the DVD and Blu-ray run times. That's the only way I can think of it. So kind of cool. It's actually generally cool, but the fact that it's on a Blu-ray that someone would cough up money for versus, like, you know, it would be like it strikes me as an ideal web video or something, you know, some kind of a viral video. But
that's what they did with the Assassin's Creed movie.
Oh, did they?
The movie's 25 minutes long, and it originally aired on the internet as three webisodes.
Okay. Well, maybe is that what this is? Is that what this is? Did they release it as a Blu-ray?
And then they released it as a Blu-ray, and the documentary on the Blu-ray is about the making of the movie and the making of the game. That's like 90 minutes.
How long is the Assassin's Creed, that whole feature?
It's like 20 minutes.
Okay, so this is probably the same thing then. So this is probably the same thing. But it still is a hard thing to swallow as far as a full-bodied feature release, you know. So just because it's so brief. But that's probably the same game plan, same studio, that's for sure. So I think, right? Yeah, I think Ubisoft did Assassin's Creed.
I think so. I'm trying to picture the
logo. Yeah, I think so. Because that was live action too, right, Mac?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was well done. I'll give it that much, but not sure you get as much bang for your buck. So, all right. So, Mac, why don't you take us to our next phase?
Excuse me. We're going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com. We're going to click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. And there we're going to scroll down to the cover art gallery for May 29th.
And there's the Asylum with the Abraham Lincoln versus zombies. They are shameless, are they not?
You gotta love them. I work occasionally with a guy who's done editing for them, actually.
Really?
They're based out of Dallas, yeah. And they're you gotta respect what they do.
They know what they want. You know, they're going out. I guess they know what their niche is and filling it, I suppose.
And they sell enough to keep making more. So, you know, more power to them. Rip them off. You know, ripping off stuff. I reviewed The Aggression Scale, which stars Kickpuncher from Community.
Oh yeah,
nice.
but that's an okay action comedy.
See, there's A Better Tomorrow, 2012.
I reviewed that actually too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. If it wasn't saddled with A Better Tomorrow, it would be a lot better.
Gotcha.
Is John Woo actually directing or just producing?
No, he just produces it, and they're not the same thing at all. They mimic a couple of scenes, but there's so many things that are different that it doesn't have to be that at all.
Now, what do you guys think of Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance, in three dimensions?
Nice.
Are you ready for that?
I don't think anybody's
is
ready
anyone
for that.
Ready to dance? Yes. Who's willing to step up
to
the team?
Personally, there's a whole bunch of Blu-rays coming out by a French director named Jean Rollin, who I really like, who makes basically lesbian vampire movies from the 70s and 80s. And I love them. And there's apparently three Blu-rays coming out next week from Redemption. Requiem for a Vampire.
Demoniacs?
Demoniacs, yeah. Yeah. Requiem for a Vampire and Rape of the Vampire, all of which are great.
Vampire, wow.
Yeah, you know, it's they're all basically the same thing. women like step out of grandfather clocks and then they turn out to be vampires. You know, it's simple stuff, but it fits right in with what I like. So I'm real happy to see that.
All right, hey, there's that British house ripoff, Monroe. You see that right there?
Oh yeah. Tell me about that last week, right?
Yeah, the house knockoff, right?
I guess the big Hollywood release of this is probably the fourth season of True Blood, which is still incredibly popular.
That's right. I have yet to see an episode of it.
I saw the first season. It was pretty good. I keep meaning to get back to it.
Did this Amanda Seyfried movie, Gone, was that a theatrical release? Yes.
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't think it was very popular.
I don't think so. I didn't know she...
I like her, but I can't really picture her as an action hero.
Yeah.
But what do you mean she's got a gun?
And a fierce look on her face.
That's true. And there's like some kind of motion action blur behind her.
Yeah.
Or someone's looking at a picture of the forest through a urine sample.
That's one
of
the... Yeah, that could be.
Now, that movie Goon, I've heard good things about with Sean Michael Scott. I've heard that's pretty good. So it's a Magnolia Talking release. Company. Yeah, they tend to do good stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's about it. So, you know how it works. And if early season on a DVD release of the week, good luck. I'll see. I don't know if anything jumps out. But, Mac, what do you got?
How about Silver Tongues?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Daryl? Why do you think about it? Kama Sutra 3D?
I know, I can't imagine.
Seriously, what? I mean, is that... tell me that the adult film industry has not done anything with 3D yet.
I'm certain they have. I'm certain that they have.
I mean, I figure high definition would have been the death blow, but apparently... Oh, goodness sakes.
It just keeps on going.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and say Rookie Blue.
Okay. I think we can work it. We can figure that out. I'll go with 96 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So, yeah, not much. Pretty straightforward here. So let's, we're making good time here. So ambush topics. And since I am hopelessly worthless with these, we're going to dig around and find an old ambush topic from 2008. So let's see. So, Daryl, since this predates your joining us on the filibuster, I will let you choose the ambush topic I'm going to give to you guys. So pick any date in 2008, and I'll find one that's closest, and then I'll choose ambush topic. And actually, Mac will choose the ambush topic. So,
all right.
Just pick any date from 2008.
We're going to go with March 17th.
March 17th. Okay. So March 14th is the closest. So, and you know what? I'm going to, wait a minute here. Oh, he didn't even put the list of ambush topics on there. Michael. So we'll bump it up to the 21st. So, oh boy, this is really not going well at all. Those are, okay, I'm going to go to the 28th. How about that? 28th. So, Mac, choose either 1, 2, or 3.
Let's go with number 2.
Number 2. So, the ambush topic for you guys from March 28th, 2008 is, this is a pretty good one, painful deaths from the Indiana Jones franchise. Which beat out steroid-enhanced cartoon characters and TV-inspired breakfast cereals. So, but we're going to go painful deaths from the Indiana Jones franchise. So if you're just tuning in now, this is not a 2008 rerun. Resuscitating an old famished topic.
I'm trying to think of, see if there's a lesser-known one.
There's definitely ups to be had. You know, I think 3 right off the top of my head, which are pretty good. Which are, like, obviously ups.
One of my favorite scenes from Raiders, which it doesn't get talked about as much as the other scenes, but it's so great, is the barroom brawl in Nepal.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I love that barroom brawl. And there's a guy in that scene, he gets lit on fire and then shot in the head.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Wait, it's not the giant Sherpa, is it?
It's
played by one Pat Roach.
I'm not sure. Was that how he got taken out, or was he the one at the end?
Oh, no, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. No, I think you're right. I think Giant Sherpa got caught on fire and then took a bullet in the head or something. So that's very painful.
I'm going to go with the Temple of Doom scene where the dude gets shish kebabbed.
Shish kebab. Which one am I saying? Help me out.
He's in the restaurant.
He literally gets shish kebab.
Yeah, he pulls a bunch of flaming shish kebab or a flaming shish kebab.
He's got the perfect shish kebab face too.
Uh-huh.
I'm spraying that guy's face. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, I will also avoid a layup, which of there are obviously so many, but I'm going to go with the monkey from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Good.
Due to bad date. Bad dates. So I can't imagine that was enjoyable for him to eat a poison date. So rest in peace.
Actually, it happens right in the point of the movie when the audience is starting to get sick of the monkey.
Yeah, it's true. It was well played. Yeah. Played by Spielberg. Okay, and then before we leave this topic, go for the layups, the obvious ones. Which one do you think, of all the obvious ones, which there are so many, what do you think is objectively the most painful, Mac?
Definitely Temple of Doom conveyor belt guy.
Conveyor belt guy takes it pretty hard.
I don't know. Melted face is pretty rough.
That's a rough way to go. I think underrated, Mola Ram getting devoured by alligators.
Yeah, I would not want to get devoured by alligators.
I mean, and like he didn't die from the fall, pretty obvious, because he's screaming while he's getting devoured by the alligators. So. I think in Raiders, what's his face? The guy getting run over by the truck. I think it's pretty quick, but it looks pretty painful too. So, yeah, nothing really in Last Crusade, huh? Nothing jumps out at you. It's super painful.
I never saw it.
You never saw it?
Oh, not Last Crusade, the fourth one.
Yeah, screw that. I'm talking about Last Crusade. I mean, aging to death is pretty rough, I suppose.
Right. There's gonna be some. Trying to think. There are a whole bunch of guys get taken out in the tank chase. Oh, Indy shoots a bullet through like three guys.
Yeah, that's not too bad. That seems like a pretty. Actually, another dude gets run over by the tank.
Right.
That's not bad. Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe they softened in Last Crusade, from the slaughterhouse of the first two. All right, good. Mac, why don't you go next?
Okay. I was trying to come up with a good ambush topic. I was thinking of suggesting existentialism, but then I thought that might not work. So instead, we'll go with just real simple clowns.
Clowns, all right.
Although that, depending on your outlook, that could be either the definition of existentialism or the opposite of it.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to go, since I've already talked about him, and I love him so, Shakes the Clown.
Okay.
He's the drunkest clown I've ever seen. No?
No.
You know, it's one of those movies. He made it when he was still pretty young and didn't know really how to make a movie. But it's got a young Adam Sandler and an old LaWanda Page what's her name? The sister-in-law from Sanford and Son.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So he is the drunkest, worst clown I've ever seen. So that's what I have to go.
I'm gonna see your drunk chase the clown and maybe try to one up you with the drunken clown from Uncle Buck.
Oh, well, good.
The children's party entertainer shows up drunk. It's pretty. That dude was wasted. Get in your car, get the hell out of here. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Uncle Buck. It's one of those movies when it comes on, I get drawn to it. I just feel like I need to watch it.
Is that John Hughes, right?
John Hughes, John Candy, one of his finer performances, I would
definitely
argue.
His finest performance, yeah.
Maybe I'm crazy in it, but I've always liked Uncle Buck. I've always thought it was, it was the pre Home Alone Macaulay Culkin,
That's right, Macaulay Culkin is in that. I forgot about that. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
And one of the all-time greatest performance, bitchy teen performances ever in that movie. like lethally bitchy performance. Fantastic. So. Alright, let's hear your clown.
Alright, mine is the one, the only James Bond in Octopussy. I believe it's Octopussy, right? Where he puts on the clown disguise to go defuse the bomb at the end.
Oh, yeah. Like, honestly, I don't know if that's a low point. This is all in the same movie. Either that's a low point or him swinging on the vine and the Tarzan shout coming out. That might be. I don't know which is lower out of those two.
Those both the same movie?
I think so. I believe octopussy happened in both of those. I mean, how long did, I mean, I never get over that clown thing because, you know, the nuke is ticking down. How long did it take him to get in that makeup? And it was perfect.
He did a good job in that makeup.
I mean, he left nothing I mean, you're telling me, did you need to spend the extra time outlining your lips, you know, and your eyes? Really?
He's a spy. He's got to go all out. At the very beginning of the movie, there's another scene, though, with another British agent dressed as a clown who's, like, escaping from that same place. And he's running through the forest, and a bunch of enemy agents come out. He starts busting out all these, like, kung fu moves with his giant clown shoes and stuff.
Oh, man. What a godforsaken movie. Like, I can't think. There's literally nothing in that movie that's salvageable, I don't think. Even the guy with a giant spinning disc of doom that's tethered to a leash, or the yo-yo debt.
Oh, the yo-yo saw.
I mean, even that's dumb because it makes zero sense. Like, it doesn't play by the rules of our, you know, the physical rules of our universe. So.
It only works if you have a balcony.
That's
if you're
right.
On a one-story house, the guy's powerless. Yeah.
Now, before you hire me to be your bodyguard, I have a few preconditions. I need a balcony at all times to be a terrible movie. All right, Daryl, finish this off.
Beards. Great beards.
You know, we always, you know, this beard topic always seems to pop up in the Friday filibuster. And I'm glad you said it. I think I would hazard to say that the, you know, memorable beards is probably our most frequent ambush topic. Mac, don't you think?
Could be. I know we've done it at least once before.
That's a good one, though.
But I don't remember what I said.
Me neither. And there's so many. You know, so many beards are timeless.
And they're coming back with this guy from The Hunger Games, which I haven't seen, but I've seen the guy's picture.
Oh, yeah?
He's got some crazy wicked beard.
Oh, yeah. The Wes Bentley, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Starburns, of course.
Oh, Starburns. Right. That's kind of something else comes to me cooler, I suppose. But in The Fugitive, Harrison Ford starts out with a beard.
Right? It looks good, yeah.
Looks good,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, I mean, so obviously going from beard to no beard helps with the whole fugitive thing, but it's a good look for him, I thought. Mm. You know?
No, he can grow a strong beard.
He can grow a strong beard.
I'm trying to think. There's a lot
giant
of
Giant Sherpa in Raiders of the Lost Ark had a great beard.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, all those guys in Tibet. Yeah,
that's true. And half of the thuggy cult were sport pretty sweet beards, too.
I don't know. I guess I'm reminded of this. Maybe this is low-hanging fruit, but Hagrid from Harry Potter got that gigantic beard.
Yeah, no, his beard was really something special. I don't know if that's real or not, but boy, howdy.
But, I especially like the bit in the first movie when the tiny little dragon breathes the fire and he just sits there while his beard's singeing on fire. He doesn't do anything about it.
Oh, very good. I'm going with James Hong, David Lopan in Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, sure.
Which is maybe the greatest beard I've ever seen in my life.
Another movie that I feel drawn to whenever it just shows up on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it's got the Blu-ray just behind me. It's, it's like you're catching something in the wild, right? Is that what it's like when you find a movie like on TV and you're drawn to it?
Mm-hmm.
Even though you may own it, it's like, Do you go to the zoo, or it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, see a bear in the zoo, or go out on your porch and watch it in the wild, you know, which is cooler. So, yeah, all that to say, Big Trouble in Little China rules. So
it certainly does.
Okay, well, I think that's a great way to end it. I'm far prefer to end it on David Lopan rather than Roger Moore's clown costume in Octopus. So, with that said, thank you for listening. Friday Filibuster at DVDverdict.com. is the email address. Again, have a great Memorial Day weekend. We apologize for dumping on Battleship, which obviously honors the folks, you know, that Memorial Day honors, but the movie blows. What can we say? So, Mac, with that in mind, take us away.
It's all in the reflexes.